जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय जय गुरुदेव Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtota Shatrashri Shrimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today is Wednesday, July 23rd. And we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16. The doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages. Verse number 21.
Yastam vivikta charitaira nuvartamanam. Natyadriyat parama bhagavata prasanga. Satvam dvijanu pata punya raja punita. Shri Vatsa Lakshma kimaga bhagavan bhajanastvam. Yastam vivikta charitaira nuvartamanam. Natyadriyat parama bhagavata prasanga. Satvam dvijanu pata punya raja punita. Shri Vatsa Lakshma Kimaga Bhagabhajanastvam.
Please chant.
Yeah.
word for word.
Yaha,
who?
Tam, Lakshmi.
Vivikta, completely pure.
Charitai,
devotional services.
Anuvartamanam,
serving.
Na,
not.
Atyadriyat,
attached.
Parama,
the highest.
Bhagavata,
devotees.
Prasangaha,
attached.
Saha,
the Supreme Lord.
Twam,
you.
Dvija,
of the Brahmanas.
Anupata,
on the path.
Punya,
sanctified.
Rajaha,
dust.
Punitaha,
purified.
Shrivatsa,
of Shrivatsa.
Lakshma,
the mark.
Kim,
what?
Agaha,
you obtained.
Bhaga,
all opulences or all good qualities.
Bhajana,
the reservoir.
Twam,
you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees. Yet you are never attached to the goddesses of fortune who constantly engage in your transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the brahmanas? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Sri Vatsa on your chest? Please repeat. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees. Yet you are never attached to the goddesses of fortune who constantly engage in your transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the brahmanas? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Sri Vatsa on your chest? Purport. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that the Lord is always served by many hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune in his Vaikuntha planet. Yet because of his attitude of renunciation of all opulences, he is not attached to any one of them. The Lord has six opulences: unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited strength, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited renunciation. All the demigods and other living entities worship Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, just to get her favor. Yet the Lord is never attached to her because he can create an unlimited number of such goddesses for his transcendental service. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is sometimes envious of the tulsi leaves which are placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, for they remain there and do not move. Whereas Lakshmiji, although stationed by the chest of the Lord, sometimes has to please other devotees who pray for her favor. Lakshmiji sometimes has to go to satisfy her numerous devotees, but tulasi leaves never forsake their position, and the Lord, therefore, appreciates the service of the tulasi more than the service of Lakshmi. When the Lord says, therefore, it is due to the causeless mercy of the brahmanas that Lakshmiji does not leave him, we can understand that Lakshmiji is attracted by the opulence of the Lord, not by the brahmanas' benedictions upon him. The Lord is not dependent on anyone's mercy for his opulence. He is always self-sufficient. The Lord's statement that his opulence is due to the benediction of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas is only to teach others that they should offer respect to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. Omi Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Jai Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasai Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminit Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivicha Patita Nam Pavane Vivaishnavi Namo Namaha. So thank you all for coming here, and for all of you who are at the temple, for all of you who are listening online, and for those of you who may listen later online, I thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak. I ask for blessings, that my words may be inspirational, meaningful, beneficial for all of us. And I take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita verse, chapter 10, verse 9. Matchita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. Yesterday, Malini Devi gave a beautiful class on Lakshmi Devi and her glories, and some of the points I'll be also sharing today, as the two verses are similar, but yet different. So, we have been hearing about the four Kumaras' journey for the past few months. They were Brahmavadis. They had heard from Lord Brahma about Lord Narayan. And so they had only realized him in their heart, and they wanted to see him. So by the dint of their mystical powers, they were able to come to the gates of Vaikuntha. And they were so eager and happy to come see the Lord. And it is said that they went through the first six gates, and due to their eagerness, they didn't even notice the opulence and the beauty surrounding them as they entered these gates. And at the seventh gate, they see the two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay. And these gatekeepers, they are seeing these four children. They look like children because they were 5 years, like look the look of five-year-old brahmacharis with no clothes on, and they have their eyebrows extended, and they're kind of wondering what's going on here. And the four Kumaras, not knowing mine, yours, ours, theirs, didn't think anything of it. They want to go through the seventh gate. So they attempted to go through, and the gatekeepers immediately put their two staff across and crisscross, and they had a disposition that was unpalatable to the Lord. So we can understand that kind of like an angry or not so friendly face, and they were definitely not wanting to allow the four Kumaras to enter. Now the four Kumaras, their whole meditation was they want to see the Lord. They were so eager to see the Lord. So seeing that this was blocking them from seeing the Lord, they got angry and they cursed Jai and Vijay. And they cursed them, saying, "You are imposters, and may you come down to the material world." Now, Jai and Vijay, as we've been hearing, they're gatekeepers in the daytime, and nighttime they're gatekeepers to the bedroom of Lord Narayan. They have such intimate service. They see him every day. maybe even several times a day. They're so dear to the Lord. And they could have counter-cursed the four brahmanas, but they didn't. And what did they do? They fell at the feet of the brahmanas, of the kumaras. And they offered their obeisances and they prayed and they asked, please let us never forget the Lord. So this repenting of the gatekeepers actually stirred something with the four kumaras, and they started also thinking maybe they shouldn't have cursed the gatekeepers. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that when this inner humility arose in both of these parties, the gatekeepers and the four kumaras, and he saw that they were both repenting, he actually attracted him. And so he came out to see what was the commotion that was going on. Because bhakti attracts the Lord. And he arrived with Lakshmi Devi. And the kumaras see the beautiful face of the Lord. They see the beautiful form of the Lord, his beautiful clothes. And it is said that in Vaikuntha, the Lord even surpasses the beauty of Lakshmi Devi. And they smell the wonderful fragrance coming from his lotus feet, the sandalwood, the camphor mixed with the amazing fragrance of tulsi leaves. And they become overwhelmed and they undergo this beautiful transformation. And they realize that instead of remaining Brahmavadis, they want to now serve the Lord. They see his personal form, his beauty, they see him in person, and they just want to serve him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that they attained Shanta Bhakti, not pure Dasya Bhakti at this time because of their offending Jai and Vijay. So the Kumaras offer prayers to Lord Narayan and they come to this realization that even if they have to go to the hellish planets, they would be fine as long as they got to do devotional service to the Lord. And they realize that bhakti is preferable than liberation, especially their conception of liberation, which was into the Brahman effulgence. And they pray that their minds, their words, and their ears, they're all be engaged in the service of the Lord. Now, Lord Narayan, he understands also that the Kumaras are a little bit fearful because now they're repenting. What did they do? They cursed these gatekeepers. So he wants to pacify them. And in his next set of verses, it's interesting to note, he starts with something very palatable, very gentle, and then he gently corrects them, and then he gently also makes another comment that's very palatable. And we see that whenever we are asked in life to correct someone, to even chastise someone, they say, start with a glorification, speak the comments that you want to correct in a pleasing manner, and then end with a glorification. This way it's easier for the party to understand and accept the message. And it's interesting how the Lord does this. The first thing he does is he apologizes. He takes the responsibility. This is my fault that you were offended. And as a loving father takes responsibility for their children acting up, he does so the same way. And then he says he approves of the Kumara's punishment. And then he speaks about the Brahmanas, how how important it is to worship them. He glorifies them and says, even I take the dust of their lotus feet on my head. And he expresses how more than the offerings of in the fire yagyas, as Lord Vishnu is the mouth of the fire yagyas, more important than that is when the Vaishnavas are fed with sumptuous prasadam. And we know prasadam is non-different from Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan. And he says he takes relishes that more than accepting the offerings from the fire yagyas. And he's pleased by those who respect the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And he's not pleased by those who do not. And then he ends with, so please let my servants come back to me soon. And here he's showing how very dear Jai and Vijay are to him. He refers to them as my servants, my attendants. And may they come back to me soon. So the Kumaras, because of their Vaishnava aparad, they could not experience the full sweetness of the Lord's words. They were repenting, but there was still a little bit of anger there. They could not get let go of. So they're bewildered by the Lord's extreme humility, his apology, and they're puzzled, and they couldn't understand the Lord's intentions. They weren't sure, is the Lord pleased with us, or is he condemning us? So they pondered about it for a little bit, and they concluded that he must be pleased with us. But let's ask him a few questions to understand his intentions. And so the next 10 verses, from verses 16 to 25, they're asking the Lord his intentions. And here we are. And one of those questions, one of those verses. And the three points they're asking here today, they're saying, you are attached to the activities of your pure devotees, yet you are not attached to the goddess of fortune. How can you be purified by the dust of the brahmana's lotus feet? How can you be glorified or made fortunate by the Sri Vatsa on your chest? So let us discuss this. The Lord is not attached to Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is a pure devotee. She's a great devotee. She serves the Lord intimately. She serves in the Aishwarya Bhava, the opulence aspect of the Lord. Now we know the Lord is not attached to any opulence. Any benedictions, he doesn't need them. He's not even attached to his own opulences, let alone Lakshmi Devi's. He's not dependent on her or the brahmanas for their wealth or their benedictions. He can create thousands and millions of goddesses of fortune. Srila Prabhupada states in his purport that the Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevya Manam, the trillions and millions of goddesses of fortunes in the Vaikuntha planets, or the wives of the residents of the Vaikuntha planets, and they're all serving him. So he's not attached to the boon-giving aspect of Lakshmi Devi. What attracts to him is pure devotional service. He's attracted to the activities of the pure devotees. He's attracted to bhakti. In this verse, it says, Parama Bhagavata Prasangaha. Parama, the highest. Bhagavata, the devotees. Prasangaha, values. He values the intimate association with the devotees. He feels that that is the highest. That is what is very dear to him. Now, Lakshmi Devi, after hearing the glories of the gopis, she wanted to enter the Rasa Leela dance. And we can read about this in the talks between Venkata Bhatta and Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lakshmi Devi, her asking to be in Lord Krishna's Leela does not hurt her chastity at all. Narayan is non-different from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions, a chaste woman wants to associate with her husband in all his different dresses. So her wanting to enter Krishna's Rasa Leela was still a very chaste request. She was not compromising her chastity. She had performed vows and austerities. She had gone to Bilavan, which is a village in Vrindavan, and she was fasting from food and drink, breathing only the air in Vrindavan as her nourishment. She was constantly chanting the holy names to get entrance into the Rasa Leela. And after some time, Lord Krishna approached her, and she expressed that by learning about his deep loving pastimes, she too wanted to become a gopi and enter the Rasalila dance. And so she asked for his blessings. But Lord Krishna said, I cannot give you my blessings. And she reminded him, the personified Vedas prayed to you to become gopis, and you fulfilled their desires to enter your Rasalila dance. And Lord Krishna said, they forgot their identities as the personified Vedas. They even forgot my identity as the Supreme Lord. They just thought themselves as milkmaids and that I was their lover. But as Lakshmi Devi, you are the most chaste wife of Lord Narayan. You cannot leave that identity. He said, for you to enter the Rasalila dance, you would have to leave your identity and take shelter of the gopis. Now, let's understand exactly what that means. Taking shelter of the gopis are simple coward women. They're highly elevated, but they're simple coward women. They, as one devotee mentioned in class before, they work with the cow dung, they get their hands dirty, they are milking the cows, they're not living pristine like in a palace with their nails not getting dirty and their clothes not getting dirty. This is very foreign to to Lakshmi Devi. The gopis left their husbands in the middle of the night. They left their children to go to the Rasalila dance. They had no upadis or identities. I am so-and-so's husband. I am so-and-so's mother. They left everything and came to Krishna. Now, for a chaste woman to say, to even think of another man, let alone go somewhere where another man is unheard of. And Lakshmi Devi is perhaps the most chaste woman. She's the most chasteful to Lord Narayan. And this was something that Lord Krishna said, you cannot do. And Lord Chaitanya, in his talks with Venkata Bhatta, he concludes and he pacifies him, saying that there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan. They are of the same form. So similarly, between the gopis and Lakshmi Devi, they are also of the same form, as they're all expansions of Srimati Radharani. I also wanted to speak a little bit about Lakshmi Devi's glories, in that when all the demigods wanted to take shelter in the cow, and they all took residence in different parts of the cow, and Lakshmi Devi, there was no place left. And she begged the mother cow, please let me take residence and shelter of you because you are so dear to Lord Krishna. And the only thing left was the cow dung and the cow urine. And she gladly accepted. Now, those of us who do a little bit of gardening, we know how potent the cow dung and the cow urine are in the garden. They will make our vegetables and fruits grow in abundance and so strong that the bugs can't even attack them. I've seen this personally with my eyes. And they're full of microbes. So there's so much nutrition in the agricultural products. In the Ayurvedic world, a very expert Ayurvedic practitioner will know how to use cow dung and cow urine in the medicinal herbs to make them more potent. And just to give a little idea, it improves digestion, they're good for cardiovascular and kidney diseases, for vitiligo, jaundice, antibiotic, antifungal. They're even used for psoriasis, malaria, eczema, boils. That's just to name a few. And we don't even know the full extent of the medicinal properties of cow dung and cow urine. Lakshmi Devi also, if we remember, when Narada Muni asked for the Maha Prasad remnants of Lord Narayan, she was the one who gave that to Narada Muni, and we know from there he gave what was a little bit left in his nails to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva didn't have any left for his wife, Parvati Devi, Durga Devi, and it was Durga Devi's request from Lord Vishnu that Mahaprasad be available to everyone in the universe. So that first giving of Mahaprasad was by Lakshmi Devi, so we are internally indebted to her. The next point the four Kumaras made, how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the Sri Vatsa on your chest? So the Sri Vatsa is a small bunch of white curling lotus thread-like soft hairs on the chest, on the right side, of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and all the incarnations of the Lord. This fine clockwise curl of hair eternally rests on the Lord's chest. And it is said the illumination of the Kostuba gem is actually reflected in the soft Sri Vatsa hair. It is represented as a symbol of eight triangles joined together like a yantra in such a way that no one can understand where it starts and where it ends. And in the Vaikuntha planets, where the residents all have this, the residents that have the same form as the Lord, Sarupya Murti, the Sri Vatsa and the Kaustubha gem are only on Lord Narayan's body. The Brijabasis see the Sri Vatsa as a complex knot of love, the threads of which bind the Lord and the devotee together forever. And as we know, like the Lord's conch shell, his gada, his and even the Sri Vatsa, they're eternally existing on the Lord, but there's also a pastime, how they come to the material world when he comes for his pastimes. So it made its appearance when Bhrigu Muni was asking, when he's going to both, all three, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, to see who is the greatest, who is the most mode of goodness, who is the greatest out of all three of them. And when he kicks Lord Vishnu in the chest, that spot is sanctified. And Lord Vishnu, instead of getting angry, says to Bhrigu Muni, I'm sorry if your foot has been hurt by the hardness of my chest. And this place that you kicked, it will be sacred. Now it will be the place where Lakshmi Devi will reside from now on. So the Lord was not made fortunate by the Sri Vatsa. Rather, the Sri Vatsa is made fortunate because it is on the Lord's chest eternally. And the last point that I didn't cover is, how can you be purified by the dust of the Brahmana's feet? So the four Kumaras are very intelligent. They're the first children or first beings created by Lord Brahma. They come from Lord Brahma's mind. So they could understand that the Lord is not the one who is purified by the dust of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. He alone can protect the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Actually, he's the Supreme Lord of all. He's the ruler of all. He's the object of all the religious principles. He's the reservoir of all goodness. He doesn't depend on anyone's mercy, anyone's opulence. And what the Lord says, that his wealth is due to the Brahmanas' blessings, and when he glorifies the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, he does this to show us as his example of how important it is to worship, to glorify, to respect the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas are the heads of society. If we don't worship and give them respect, there will be chaos in society, because it is the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas who lead and the society, the path back to Godhead. And they are very pleasing to the Lord. So Lord Narayan is teaching the four Kumaras the value of the Vaishnavas here being the gatekeepers. And he's teaching Jai and Vijay that we need to respect the Brahmanas here being the four Kumaras. And he does this very lovingly. So it is important for all of us to study these dealings with Lord Narayan and his devotees for our benefit. Disharmony will always exist in the material world. amongst one another, and even in our society. The only way we can overcome this disharmony is by keeping Lord Krishna in the center of our lives and our relationships. And I'd like to end with a quote by Srila Prabhupada. In the spiritual world, the religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore that world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principles can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. So it is with any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. I'm going to repeat this again, because it's so important. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of the Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. So I'd like to read the translation again. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees, yet you are never attached to the goddesses of fortune, who constantly engage in your loving, transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the brahmanas? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Sri Vatsa on your chest? I thank you again for allowing me to speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I ask for any questions, comments, corrections. Yes, Prabhu.
Wouldn't the relationship that Lakshmi has with Krishna be fully satisfying? Why would she want to change that to go to another rasa? Is there something more to be had with the gopis' relationship with Krishna than her relationship in the form of Lakshmi Devi, like with Rukmini and Krishna when they're together? She's the source of all the Lakshmi, but Krishna seemed to give her a lot of care and attention. So it might be a different mood, but does that make it lesser?
From my understanding, the pure devotees, the devotees and the residents in Vaikuntha, they're all satisfied with their service to the Lord. And again, it's as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, a chaste wife would like to see her husband in different dresses. So she's hearing the glories, and she would also like to participate just to see what it's like. But it's with her mood of awe and reverence, she cannot do it.
Curiosity.
If anyone else would like to comment, please.
Not on that specific point, but on Lakshmi. There is another version to her story. It stated that she was a little jealous the way Krishna was treating the cows. You know, the cows are very dear to Lord Krishna, so she decided, well, she will go and live with the cows. So she went and asked the cow, well, I really want to come and live with you. And the cow said, look, we don't need you. You're chanchala. Mm-hmm. You know, you're chanchala. You move from place to place. We don't. And besides that, we're already beautiful. You know, we're more beautiful than you. So Lakshmi insisted. He said, okay, since you're insisted, the only place you can reside is on our stool and urine, like that. Yeah, that's a version of the story with Lakshmi. This was the teachings of Bhishma to Yudhisthira.
Thank you for that. And I just also want to say that when we talk about jealousy and envy with these pure devotees, we do need to keep in mind that it's not the jealousy and envy that we experience in the material world of how come they are getting this privilege and not me, but more, wow, look at this privilege. I also want to serve like this, and how can I better my service? So I think that's an important thing to remember. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. Thanks for the class. My question is that Lakshmi is a part of... Lakshmi is the part of Krishna, right? Actually, that is a part in the sense, actually, I'm telling the photos that we will see the Lakshmi with Krishna, that is Narayana. So both are same or?
You're asking if Lakshmi is the same as Lord Narayan?
Narayan, yeah, it's off of Lakshmi and Narayan is the combination.
Lakshmi is a pure devotee. There is no difference between Radha and Krishna, so I see how you're saying. But Lakshmi, even the expansions of Lord Krishna and the expansions of Vishnu, they're also servitors of Krishna. So it's not that we're all merging into one.
Okay. Lakshmi also is a servitor.
She's also the servitor
of Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna.
We can give one to the lady side too, please. Nandini Kishori, and then we'll come back to the men's side.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Comment on Panchagoda Prabhu's thing. Lakshmi is the servant mood, servitor mood. She's doing Pada Sevanam. Whereas Radharani, they are gopis are in the Madhurya bhav. So that way, if that comment is okay. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you for the elaboration. Oh, there's a Dasaratha Sutta Prabhu. Let's hear from him.
Hare Krishna. Those are fascinating details you dug up about the mark of Srivats, because most of the Lord's features are described in Shastra, and we have very clear artistic renditions and, of course, Murti manifestations of the Lord, threefold bending form. We have his flute, and in the Vishnu forms, we have Shankachakra, Gada, Padma. But we don't see or hear much about the mark of Srivats. It's very mysterious. So where did you find those details? And yes. Could you, again, describe briefly, it's like a geometric form?
Yeah.
Have you seen any artistic rendering that's accurate from any artist based on the Shastra?
The details that I've gotten from all of these about the Srivats are from His Holiness Indradyumna Swami's classes. He has a team of devotees that do a lot of research, and I apologize that I didn't quote that from him directly, that I didn't state that. But there in his, he has a series of Vrindavan classes. He speaks about all the different stimulation for ecstatic symptoms and how different qualities and characteristics of the Lord can remind us of him and invoke pure love for him. So he speaks on the Srivatsa in that, one of those series. And that is where I got the information from Lakshmi Devi's story and Srivatsa. And again, I apologize that I didn't give the reference from his class, the books that he used.
What was that? You said something about it has some geometric form?
Yeah, yes. Let me read it exactly. They're in the form of eight. I'll read it exactly, so I'm not going to get it incorrect. Symbol of eight triangles joined together like a yantra, in such a way that one can understand, cannot understand where it begins or where it ends. That's how they're symbolized in pictures. Do you want to? Yeah, sure. Is that a picture? Okay. Okay, well, actually, we can show. That's Sutta Prabhu. But when they're depicting the picture, I guess, on the pictures of Lord Narayan, they put this tiny symbol on him. And I think they may even have it on some of the deities.
Interesting. When I used to dress the deity of Lord Nrisimhadev in New Vrindavan, the deity that was made by Soma Prabhu, we used to put, I remember, it was a jewel exactly of that size, of that design, mm-hmm. on the chest. I believe it was on the right side, on the right side of Lord Nrisimhadev. Yeah, yes. Exactly that.
Oh,
that triangle shape, jewel. It was a jewel. It was like, I don't know what it was exactly, but it was blue color. It was very beautiful. Yes,
thank
very
you
nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your class.
Thank you.
Now, concerning the discussion here about Lakshmi and Lord Narayan, that she's in that service attitude, and then there is a difference between the devotees, the gopis, and Lakshmi. Well, in a sense, there is a difference of mood, for sure. And even I was just remembering that the chapter 11 in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, and Arjuna said, "Please, my dear Lord, show me your form." And then he changed to the form of Narayan, but then he said, "Yes, my dear Lord, but I would like to see you in your three-banded form playing on the flute." And then yes. Krishna showed his mercy by coming back to his form playing on the flute. So the devotees really only really we want to see Krishna playing on his flute. Yes. All other forms of the Supreme Lord, we are very respectful of them, but we really want to see Krishna playing on his flute.
Thank you for that. And we also remember in the... when the gopis, when Krishna leaves the gopis for a brief time, and they see Lord Narayan, they're not even attracted. They're just respectfully offer their obeisances. This, have you seen Krishna? They were still hankering for Krishna. So yes, thank you for that.
Just comment this. It's not that Lakshmi is not in Madhurya Rasa. She's also in Madhurya Rasa, but the difference. Nandini Kishori said something about she's not in Dasya Rasa. But here in this verse and in other verses also, sometimes it's compared to the pure devotees with Lakshmi Devi. And you mentioned Lakshmi Devi is a pure devotee, but there's some places, like even today in the verse, it was mentioned that the Lord respects the pure devotees more than Lakshmi Devi. So could you comment something on that?
I touched upon that in that he's not attached, from what I was studying, that he's not attached to her boon-giving aspect. That aspect of giving to, because he's not attached to opulences. It isn't that he's not attached, only pure devotees can be with the Lord. So she is a pure devotee and she's serving him and he's pleased with her. But she's attracted to his opulence and that, to him is not as attractive as just pure loving devotional service.
So in that conversation with Venkatabhata, Lord Chaitanya, we understand, you were saying that Krishna said to Lakshmi that you can't give up. How did he say?
It's not in that conversation. I was referring that one can see this conversation there, but this pastime that was repeated was from the class that I had heard from, Indradyumna Swami's class that I was mentioning on the pastime.
But what did Krishna say to Lakshmi?
Oh, he couldn't give her the blessings because she wouldn't be able to leave her identity. She wouldn't be able to give up her identity. In order for her to enter the pastime, the Rasalila pastime, she would have to give up her identity and take shelter of the gopis. Mm-hmm. And being the chaste wife, the extreme chaste wife of Lord Narayan, she was not able to do that. She was not able to think, to forget, I am the wife of Lord Narayan. That is her identity. That is her chastity. That is her mood of service.
It seems like there's some other verse also talks about, here we're talking about Lakshmi and pure devotee, although she's a pure devotee, but the distinction is getting made about pure devotee and Lakshmi Devi. And I think there's some other verse in the Bhagavatam about Lord Balaram, and he's more attached to his devotees more than Lord Balaram and so and so. In thinking about it, I saw that as all these, that is Lakshmi Devi or whether it's Lord Balaram, they're his own Swakya. He's related to Balaram. He's related to Goddess of Fortune. These are all their Swakya, whereas Ananda Maharaj and Yashoda and the gopis and everybody in Vrindavan are Parakya. They're not his own. And so I think the term, at least in my thinking, it's more like they're naturally attached to your family members. They're your own. But these are devotees. They have given up everything for him. So I think, in my thinking, that's what I perceive as.
Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha.